Hello. Hello. Attention. Attention. There is a dog that I am trying not to drive over. Dog. Safe. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way. Good morning. It's me. Driving to work. I have some news about this episode of Blockbusting. It's just going to be me. And it's also not going to be me talking about a movie I hated. It's actually going to be me talking about three movies that I saw that I liked in various orders all this weekend. Because you know what? I didn't book myself a guest this week. And I feel like I owe just a little bit of solo time, you know? Like, I didn't really have the time. I was just kind of too busy at work. The office is a little bit fucked up right now in terms of my ability to do stuff. I had late nights. I was home alone, and I didn't book anybody. So now I'm here. I'd like to talk about these movies, and I probably will not continue doing this voice. No, I'm not going to. Okay, anyway. Hi. So, welcome to a solo Blockbusting. I am Jay Light. This is the podcast where normally we love to hate movies, but today I'm loving a couple movies. Well, I wouldn't say love. Love is a strong word. There's one movie out of the three that I saw this weekend that I actually really, really enjoyed. The other two, I think, were all right. And those three movies, two of them have been out. Well, two of them just came out, rather. One of them has been out for a while in the States. I think this might have been its last weekend that it was going to be in theaters, or at least in AMCs. By the way, shout out to AMC Stubbs, who, without AMC Stubbs A-List, I would not have been able to see any of these movies for free. I saw all of these movies. I scammed them. I got my money's worth. Three movies, back to back to back. Very exciting. AMC Stubbs, the thing that will allow me to continue to steal money from your movie theater enterprise. Should have held on to my AMC stock when I bought it back in January. I would be a billionaire by now. No, that also is not true. But, you know, I would have offset some of that to spend on AMC Stubbs. Anyway, three movies. Back to back to back. Let's talk about them in order of least liked to most liked. And the caveat here is that I did think all of these movies are solid. At a bare minimum, I think they're all pretty solid. Bare minimum. Let's start off with The French Dispatch. Wes Anderson's latest. His style, always on point. Is casting the same, as always, except for he did have Jeffrey Wright come in this time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Jeffrey Wright has ever been in a Wes Anderson movie. I really was enjoying most of The French Dispatch. The way it's structured, if you haven't heard a whole lot about it, it's an anthology film where the framing device is that there's this guy who is a newspaper editor who goes to France and basically does what they call the French Dispatch of the Liberty, Kansas Evening Sentinel, which is his, in the Wes Anderson cinematic universe, this is the New Yorker, essentially. It's the easiest way to put it. And what happens in this movie is it starts off, it's basically structured as the last issue of this magazine, because the editor-in-chief, played by Bill Murray, dies of a heart attack or something. Anyway, that's not really important. And this isn't really a spoiler, because it happens in the first 5 minutes he dies. So don't get your panties in a wad about me spoiling stuff. All right, I know how you all like to get, you Blockbusting listeners, is your panties in a wad about spoilers, okay? I'm taking a clown class, so that's why I'm doing all of these voices. It just feels right. Anyway, so I watched this movie, and it's structured, like I said, anthology film style. Framing device, this is the last issue of this magazine, The French Dispatch. We got three major stories, and then one little one to start us off. They're all told from the point of view of the different journalists. You got Owen Wilson in there, who is you're a starter. He is a guy on a bike who explains the town of Anhui, which is the name of this French city that the magazine is based out of. And then you have a story by Tilda Swinton's character, who is explaining the world of art from a prisoner, an incarcerated murderer, played by Benicio del Toro. Love Benicio del Toro in this. He plays a great psychopathic prisoner. Lea Seydoux is in this chunk. There's an Adrian Brody portion, Martin Mull, and Henry Winkler. They're all in this. It's a fun time. It's fun, 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 fun. Tilda Swinton doing great stuff with her mouth and voice. Benicio del Toro being really fun and grim. He's doing great things in this movie. And then we have the second section, which features Frances McDormand and Timothée Chalamet as people, you know, talking about sort of like a French student's revolt. And this is the only part of the movie that kind of dragged for me. Frances McDormand is playing a journalist who tries to figure out what's going on in this French student's revolt. And she's also sleeping with Timothée Chalamet. And it's fine. It's not... This is the part of the movie that I think is the sleepiest. It puts me... It actually did make me nod off a little bit. I was trying to pay attention, but this part of the movie just kind of dragged. And then there's the final scene. Vignette. That's the word that I should have been using. The final vignette features... What's our homeboy's name? Jeffrey Wright. He's playing a James Baldwin pastiche. He absolutely knocks it out of the park. This section, he plays a food writer who is exploring the cuisine of the police in this town. There's a lot of fun little cameos in here. Willem Dafoe is in here for a second. Saoirse Ronan's in here for a second. This is great. And this is a more fully realized section, I think, in terms of style and substance. Jeffrey Wright, as his character, is so well portrayed. And the writing is so... It elucidates parts of his character that are so subtle, but so interesting. I really, really loved this part of the movie. This section, top-notch. I would say, overall, it's three-fourths of a good movie. The direction with Frances McDormand and Timothée Chalamet is a drag. It wades down the rest of the movie, and it doesn't quite work. But the other portions, beautiful, wonderful, good comedy, classic Wes Anderson, and he's leveling up, he's building on himself, and I really appreciate that. So I do recommend, I will say flat out, I recommend you see all of these movies, all right? They're all good movies. They're all worth your time. But French Dispatch, if you're a Wes Anderson fan, you're going to like it. If you are not a Wes Anderson fan, you might like parts of it. If you like Jeffrey Wright, you're definitely going to love it. If you like Tilda Swinton, you're definitely going to love it. If you like Frances McDormand, you're probably going to think the second section is better than I did. Or I guess the middle section. It's not really the second section. But anyway, semantics. The second movie in the tier of three that I saw this weekend was Dune. Gotta talk about Dune. Dune, what a bombastic, old sweeping shots of the desert, muted color scheme, having oiled up Stellan Skarsgård, Timothée Chalamet. Why is Timothée Chalamet in all of these movies? He's going to be a heartthrob everywhere. At least he didn't have a tiny mustache in this one. If Timothée Chalamet had a tiny mustache in Dune, I would not have been able to take it seriously. Tiny mustache Tim only works in The French Dispatch or in movies where he is in Europe. Can't have a guy with a mustache in the future. I think mustaches have been outlawed. That was actually probably the best part about Dune, is that Jason Momoa is in this movie. He does a great job, shockingly good, as Duncan Idaho. And he has a goatee for a little bit. He has a beard, and then he shaves it, and it's gone. And Jason Momoa with a naked face, whoo, what a shocker. I'm so used to seeing him with his face all haired up. This was a nice change. Dune, a spectacle. A big, streaming, cool, slick, well, not even slick. It's very, it's like gross looking. But it's also beautiful. It's a spectacle. It's really quite something. I was not expecting to enjoy this movie as much as I did. I felt that it was a little bit, perhaps, going to be a little bit more, what's the word? Inaccessible? I was shocked at how accessible this movie was. Really, really quite something. And the, you know, when you have a very heavy sci-fi movie, and this, I think, is kind of the issue that I run into as an audience member, as somebody who watches fantasy, sci-fi, that kind of stuff. That genre in particular is not necessarily my favorite genre. I think that there are some that do it better than others, obviously. But I, you know, I never watched Game of Thrones, right? Game of Thrones is a very high fantasy. I'm not a fan of Lord of the Rings. If you know the podcast, you know that. And I think that part of why these movies don't appeal to me and these TV shows don't appeal to me is because I don't necessarily care about learning all the fantasy trappings and all of the sci-fi trappings of the world. The world building, it has the potential to be impenetrable. And I think if you tell a good story, then all of the impenetrable story, the trappings, the world building elements, those fall away. And I think what works about Dune is that the story is so simple at the end of the day, and the world-building elements are efficiently laid out and not laboriously explained and expanded over the course of a long, long time, that I felt able to follow along. And I was not worried the way, you know, as soon as we got maybe an hour into the movie, which, by the way, it breezes by. For a 2.5, almost 3-hour long movie, this movie really goes at a pretty nice clip. But I was very pleasantly surprised at how easy it was to follow along with and understand. And I think the acting is good, and the writing is as good as it's going to be. I've never read the book. I am intrigued to read the book now. I don't know if I want to before Dune Part 2 inevitably comes out. By the way, if anyone out there is complaining about Dune being a 2-part movie, do you understand how Hollywood works? Do you understand that if there is a potential to do a long-term franchise, they are going to take that potential and squeeze the life out of it like a aggressive bartender making a margarita? They're going to take that storyline and just going to fucking juice it. Of course they are. What do you think Hollywood is? Hollywood's not some precious bullshit factory where they're going to take your franchise with all of its potential and go, oh, I don't want it. They're not going to do that. Oh, my God. The traffic on the way to work is really building up, by the way. It started raining. I left work. I left my house for work today at 6:25-ish. And it said it was going to take me 32 minutes to get to work. I've been on the road for about 12, 13 minutes now. And it actually has increased the amount of time because it's raining in here in Los Angeles. And nobody knows how to drive in the rain. There is what looks to be a pretty insane crash coming up ahead or something. I'm trying to be as careful as I can as I talk on my headphones. What has happened? Did I get on the wrong road? I don't think so. I don't have any ideas. Anyway, Dune, fun. Much more fun than I thought it was going to be. There were a couple parts that I laughed. I really enjoyed some of the scenes. But again, I am also, I wasn't moved by it. And I went and saw it with a couple friends of mine who, one of them is a huge Dune fan, loves the novel, and he was, as soon as he left the theater, just gushing, loved it, blown away, absolutely enthralled. And then I saw it with another buddy of mine who's more in my vein, where he was intrigued, wanted to see it, was not a Dune fan, and walked out basically feeling the same as our other buddy did. Matt and Yorgo, former guests of this podcast, Matt Lieb and Yorgo Archidas. And they both watched it, and we're literally, we left the movie theater, and they were standing the exact same way outside. And they were just like, they had their hands on their hips, and they're just like, one hip popped out, and they were both just like out of breath with how much they enjoyed this movie. So yeah, it was really good. Yeah, really, I thought it was fucking badass, man. And I have not really been in this position too much as somebody who goes to see a movie with other people and is the person who liked it the least out of those people, because I wasn't blown away. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was well done. I trust Denis Villeneuve. Denis Villeneuve? Is that how you say his name? Denis Villeneuve? I like him. I think some of his work is great. I love Sicario. I love Arrival. I am intrigued to see what he does with the second half of this movie. I've never read the book, and I assume that there's probably going to be some more, maybe some smaller fighting. There's some smaller fights that happened in this movie that were really, really nice. And there's also some big bombastic stuff that happened that was really, really nice. It was a really pretty movie. Really well shot. Really well made. Did it do it for me? Did it move the needle to, like, becoming a very good movie? Or perhaps a great movie? I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say that. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than The French Dispatch. It felt like it was a more fully realized movie than The French Dispatch. It's such a shame when, like, I guess I haven't seen a ton of anthology movies. I'll say that. But when one chunk of the anthology really just, like, doesn't sing the way that the others do, ooh, it's such a drag. It's such an anchor dragging down the rest of this beautiful hot air balloon of a movie from totally soaring. It's a sandbag. They sandbagged himself with this movie. And sand is what's in Dune. Full of sand. Tons of sand. Named after sand. Did you know? Anyway. I am concerned about getting to work on time. I mean, I planned on being there early enough. I'm still going to be there early enough. I'm just going to have to print my scripts for work. Oh, God, I'm working on MasterChef right now, y'all. Tons of fun. Love this show. Did not realize that I was going to be stuck in traffic this morning. No idea. Left my house. Everything was going peachy keen. Was going to get there at 7 o'clock. Have plenty of time. I mean, I'm going to get there like 7:10 and still have plenty of time. But like, damn. Rain. I wish people knew how to drive in it in Los Angeles. This is so frustrating to just sit here in this standstill traffic because nobody understands how to drive in the rain. Okay. Last movie. Then I'm getting out of here. The final movie that I saw and continue to think about, even now, in a way where I'm just like, I really do feel like I want to see that again soon, is Titane. Titane. French. Julia Ducournau. They won Cannes with this movie. Won the Palm. Spike Lee was like, this is my favorite movie of this festival. Everybody there was like, this movie is insane. And I watched the trailer, and if you have not watched the trailer, don't worry. You can watch it, and you're not going to know a goddamn thing about this movie. This is a movie I'm actually going to avoid spoiling as much as I possibly can, I think. Because, hey, why not? I really, really, really think this movie is just totally bonkers, and it really comes together and makes this whole story. Oh, God. I'm trying to speak. Maybe I will just spoil some of the stuff that happens in this movie. And trust me when I say that, like, I think you can still see this movie, even with spoilers, and really enjoy it. I saw this movie at 10:20 p.m. on a Saturday night. There was maybe 10 other people in the theater. I got a hot dog. This is not a good movie to eat a hot dog before watching. Do not eat a hot dog before watching Titane. Because the first half of the movie is gross. It's violent and sickeningly violent. I was definitely very squirmy in my seat. And I sometimes do have very visceral reactions to violence in movies. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I see it coming. But I do tend to be a little bit of a squirmy wormy when stuff gets violent on the screens. And this movie, violent. Because the whole premise of the movie is it starts out with our lead character, Alexia, as a child. And she is in a car accident with her dad. She's pretending to be a car. She's annoying her dad. Her dad spins out on the road because she's kicking his seat and he's pissing her off. And he yells and spins out of the road and gets into a car accident. And she's unbuckled and smashes her skull. And then you cut immediately to a surgery. And she has a titanium plate implanted in her head. And then the titanium plate, it features very prominently over the course of the rest of the movie. Because guess what? She loves cars now. She may or may not be attracted to cars as a child. And I truly mean this because we grow. The next scene we have is this intense dance sequence. What I love about French directors is they love to do a dance sequence in a movie. That's one of the things I love about Climax. Go, oh, Gaspar Noé. In the very beginning of the movie, famously, a long, like, I want to say 10-minute dance sequence that's just everybody at this dance camp or something, these dancers. I don't want to call it dance camp. That seems a little bit dismissive. But they're all dancing around. They're showing off their stuff, and it's a great time. And there's a big sexy dance sequence in this movie, in Titane, with all of these showgirls at a car show writhing around on top of cars to a song by The Kills called Doing It to Death. And then the next thing that happens in this movie is our lead actress, our lead character, Alexia, has sex with a car. This is the next notable thing that happens in this movie. And she has sex with this car, and you see it happen. This is, again, I want to emphasize, this is like 25 minutes into the movie. The inciting incident of this movie is her having sex with a car, pretty much. This is an hour 45. And it gets crazier from there, because it turns out she is a serial killer. She has murdered several people. She has this hairpin she keeps her hair up with. She pulls it out and shoves it inside in people's ears and murders them with it. And there's a whole, several really gruesome murders that happen in the first half hour, 45 minutes of this movie. And then she is wanted for her arrest. She commits a bunch of murders. It escalates very quickly. And then she's on the run. Uh-oh, what am I going to do? She goes to this, I think it's either an airport or a train station. I want to say it might be like Gare du Nord in France. But she is up there and she is decides, well, the best thing for me to do is look totally different and pretend to be a boy who's been missing since he was 7 years old. So she cuts all her hair and breaks her own nose on a sink in a bathroom. And then the second half of the movie is her, after being adopted, quote-unquote, by this guy whose son has been missing, again, for like a decade, perhaps more than a decade. I don't fully remember, but she decides, okay, this is the best thing for me to do. So I'm going to pretend to be this guy's son. And he's a firefighter. Vincent Landon, I think, is the actor who plays this dad, who's a firefighter, and they're in the firehouse together, and all of this shit's happening, and guess what? The movie is no longer a violent, gruesome, like almost barf-worthy, disgusting thing. It becomes this really weirdly sweet movie about family and love and the things you do for love. And it's also, by the way, the other thing I should point out is after she had sex with the car, she got pregnant with a something. And the pregnancy plays out very, very intensely in this movie. She tries to give herself an abortion with the hairpin at one point. And I know that's not going to work because I'm like, she's going to be pregnant with a fucking car this whole movie. And that's the whole thing. So, like, at the very... And she starts to, you know, to really break through this pregnancy. It really comes to fruition over the course of the movie. She's trying to bind down her pregnant belly and pretend to be a boy, along with binding down her, like, increasingly pregnant breasts, which, by the way, are lactating. They're not lactating milk. They're lactating fucking motor oil. And she's got motor oil coming out of her vagina instead of blood. Like, something is clearly very fucked up about what's going on with her body in this movie. And, oh my god, as I talk more and more about it, I can't believe I only thought this movie was worth 4 stars. I think this movie actually might be worth more than that. I might be bumping this up to, like, 4.5 stars, perhaps. To come up with an idea like this is so insane, and I think it's really... I love this movie. I think I love this movie. It's so out there, and it's so... fully realized for being so out there. Anyway, to more fully digress upon this movie, I think the pregnancy by the very end, I would absolutely have given this movie a full 5 stars if she did have a car, a baby car at the end of the movie, and went full, like, Leo Skrax, Holy Motors, absolute bonkers French weirdness, and she gave birth to a little tiny car. She doesn't give birth to a little tiny car. That's my only critique about this movie, is that she does not give birth to a little tiny car at the very end of it. It's still fucked up and crazy and weird and violent and sexual and all of these... It's a whole melange of things that, like, should not work together without being deftly pulled off artistically. And good news, Julia DeCornell is a fucking wonderful director who understands how to pull all of this stuff off. So kudos to Julia DeCornell, who I don't think is going to listen to this podcast at all. If you do, I love you and I love this movie, and I got to go back and watch Raw now because I haven't seen it. I really am intrigued by, like, what you do in horror movies and in thrillers. I would love to see what else you have going on. But yeah, I don't know if Titan is playing at a theater near you anymore. Like I said, I think it might be out of theaters. But holy fuck, y'all. This movie, go see it. It's great. It is great. I am going to bump my rating up. I'm going to give this movie at least 4.5 stars. I think if it did... And sorry, Julia. If you let your lady give birth to a fucking car, then I would give it 5 stars. You didn't do that. That's your own problem, all right? You should have let your lady give birth to a fucking car. Can you imagine if that was the way I critiqued movies? I would have loved Moneyball, all right, if Jason Giambi turned into a car. Anyway, I love Transformers. They're cars. That's the guy who loves Michael Bay and only thinks Michael Bay movies are good. Why wasn't Transformers Born in the Dark nominated for Best Picture? All the people in there, cars. That's all I'm looking for. Anyway, go see Titan in theaters if you can. If you can't, rent it. I know it's available on streaming, now, at least for download. You can't watch it on a streaming service for free the way you can, like, Dune. Which also, by the way, I have seen so many stories that are like, how to watch Dune online for free. You can't watch Dune online for free without stealing it. I think it's so disingenuous to tell people you can watch something for free and then just be like, you actually have to pay for HBO Max. Sorry, that's not free. That's the furthest thing from free. What are you doing? Anyway, download Titane, watch it. Watch it alone in the dark at like 11 p.m. I think that's probably the best way you can see Titane. And also, I definitely recommend Dune. And I recommend The French Dispatch. I recommend all these movies. If I had to rank them, I would definitely go Titane, Dune, French Dispatch. French Dispatch and Dune, much closer than I thought they were going to be. Titane really actually is leagues above. Yeah. Fun stuff. A fun slate of movies. I'm so glad I got a chance to actually see all three of these movies. And that I didn't just take two and decide to do something else. What a time. What a time to be alive. I am planning next week to have some guests. Now that my life is a little bit calmed down and I have some chances to do some stuff with other people and not just fly solo and reach out. I got some people in mind I think we're going to love. Also, I got to talk to, shout out to my producer, Ben Rosen, who's done a great job of helping me get some other guests. Me and Ben. Ben, if you're listening, if you listen this far, we're going to talk, but I'm also going to message you after this, so don't worry. You might have already been texting and emailing with me by the time that this episode comes out in the next, I don't know, couple hours. Anyway, yep, driving to work. People do not know how to drive in the rain. I've already seen a couple crashes. I'm glad I'm making it to work safe. I'm glad I got to spend this little extra moment of time with y'all. Still in 10 minutes before I get to work. Probably going to listen to some other music or something now. Anyway, go see Titane. Go see Dune. Go see French Dispatch. They're all worth your time. 2021 finally proving to be a year of the movies. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening, and I will talk to you later. Go see something good for a change. Those are three movies that are good. This has been Blockbusting. Outro.